New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy.
With registered holistic nutritionist, Andrea Donsky.
And health journalist, Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis with Andrea Donsky, and we've gotten so many books about different diet and lifestyle plans to help with a variety of issues, but this is the first one we've got on PCOS, that is polycystic ovary syndrome, healing PCOS, a 21-day plan for reclaiming your health and life with polycystic ovary syndrome. It is by Amy Medline. She is the founder of PCOS Diva, who joins us now. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
You know, I'm so glad you're here because I know that a lot of women struggle with this and I've heard about it, I'll hear about it, and then I don't hear anything at all about it. And then I hear more. Andrea, you, it's one of those things that you hear about and then it kind of goes away.
Well, I had it actually for years. It's polycystic ovarian syndrome. I mean, that's how I knew it as, but I couldn't get pregnant because I had it. Yeah, no, I had it for many years.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, what is it, Amy, for people who don't know?
Yeah, so you're right, Andrea. I mean, PCOS is the leading cause of female infertility. So a lot of women find out that they have PCOS when they're going through their fertility journey. But PCOS isn't just a fertility issue. It's actually an endocrine metabolic disorder. And it really affects women in different ways. Hence, that's why it's called a syndrome. And there's a whole laundry list of symptoms. You know, I can mention some of them.
Yeah, tell us the symptoms.
Yeah, so PCOS, because it really affects fertility, one of the symptoms is anovulation or irregular menstrual cycles. Another of sort of the root of PCOS is hormonal imbalance. And androgens, which are male hormones, are kind of elevated in women with PCOS. So a lot of symptoms are androgen-driven symptoms like male pattern hair loss or androgenic alopecia or hirsutism or hair growth, kind of where you don't necessarily want it, facial hair like chin, neck, upper lip, stomach, thighs. Basically, you know, you're losing hair where you want it and gaining it where you don't. And then there's an insulin-resistant kind of root cause of PCOS as well. So you can experience many insulin-resistant symptoms, like sort of the spare tire kind of weight gain around your middle, skin tags, darkening of the skin under the arms or on your neck. And the other, what I've sort of identified as the root cause of PCOS, is inflammation. So you can have signs of inflammation like acne, weight gain, brain fog, joint pain. And acne can also be related to sort of that excess androgens. And then I recently saw a statistic that stated that 60% of women with PCOS also have some type of mood disorder like anxiety, depression, irritability, and it can also lead to disordered eating patterns too. So just kind of a whole laundry list of symptoms, but not every woman will experience all of the same symptoms in the same way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've always been fuzzy. I mean, let's just, you know, I mean, most of my fuzz is blonde, but once in a while it can be darker. And I remember years ago, I was friends with this guy who was a hairdresser and we were talking about hair. And then out of the blue, he's like, have you thought about waxing? And I'm like, I thought he meant the hair on my head. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he was so forward with me and it kind of embarrassed me. I remember for years being embarrassed that I had this, you know, fuzzy face. And now I get waxed, but I'm not going to wax my whole face, you know, but it is hard when you have something that you feel self-conscious about, right? And then you have, if you have the anxiety or if you had the depression or if you have the weight gain and the acne, it can be really tough. Andrea, what was it like for you? What were your symptoms?
Oh, definitely a lot of the same, which was interesting. I didn't realize about the anxiety that it's tied into PCOS. So I had definitely the hair on my face, under my chin, but that also runs in our family. It's genetic, but I didn't have the, you know, women with PCOS tend to also be a little bit overweight, which I didn't have that, but I definitely had the insulin resistance, you know, I had a lot of the symptoms, and the biggest one was just, you know, not being able to get pregnant because you have so many follicles when you have PCOS, right? So it's hard to know which ones can actually, I guess it's hard to get pregnant, right? And I guess you can explain this a little bit better, but in terms of the pregnancy aspect, perhaps you can jump into that and explain why it's hard for women who have PCOS to get pregnant.
Yeah, and I do want to state that there is a lot of hope for women. And I know I was told when I was 18 that doctors would have to jump through hoops one day to get me pregnant. And I hear from a lot of women in the work that I do with PCOS Diva, where doctors will tell them that, you know, they'll never get pregnant. And that's really a fallacy. Most women with PCOS can get pregnant, although it may take some fertility intervention, and it may take a little bit longer. In fact, women with PCOS tend to become more fertile later in life, and they have a larger ovarian reserve, and they tend to reach menopause later in life. So it's not uncommon for women with PCOS to have babies well into their 40s. But you're right, you have this classic string of pearl kind of look to your ovaries, where there's multiple undeveloped follicles. And that is one of the ways that PCOS is diagnosed. And I don't think I mentioned that between 50 and 70% of women with PCOS are undiagnosed. So, you know, I'm so thankful to come on shows like yours to talk about it and spread awareness. But having a vaginal ultrasound and seeing that sort of classic string of pearls is one of the diagnostic criteria. But 30% of women with PCOS don't have polycystic ovaries, and 20% of women that do don't have PCOS. So it's kind of confusing. And I think, PCOS sort of has a name problem, and it probably would be better suited with another name. But the other two diagnostic criteria are the elevated androgens that I mentioned before, and then a regular menstrual cycle. So if you have two out of three, then you would be diagnosed with PCOS.
Yeah, I definitely had that as well, the irregular menstrual cycles. You know, it's interesting, Amy, my sister is 39 and she has PCOS and got pregnant, no problem. First try, no problem, pregnant. And she tried to get pregnant later in life. So that's interesting that you say that. She'll be 40 when she gives birth to her first baby. So that's cool. And then the other thing too is I needed very little intervention. I took a half a pill of Clomid to get pregnant. And then what happened is I became more fertile for my second baby. I didn't even think I could. And then I got pregnant with nothing, no medication. And the same for my third. And eventually I found that it went away for me. So is that something that's common too?
Well, I mean, there is no cure for PCOS. I think that what you've probably done is managed it better through your lifestyle choices, your diet and exercise and stress reduction. And those are sort of kind of the key lifestyle factors that, you know, I talk about in my book, Healing PCOS, because there is so much that you can do with the choices that you make over the course of a day. It really leads to a healing of PCOS, but unless you continue along sort of this healing continuum, your PCOS symptoms will probably come back in some way.
Well, Amy, can you get into this 21-day plan for us a little bit, kind of the highlights?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I start off the book with a chapter called Thinking Like a Diva, because I really believe that you have to shift your mindset. And before you can start, you know, changing the way that you eat and move in a way that's really sustainable over a course of a lifetime, you really have to change the way you think. And, I say that until you can think like a PCOS diva, you can't live like a PCOS diva. And the work that I've done with women and with myself, I find that so many women with PCOS are sort of in this place of lack. And I think that as you're hearing about the symptoms of PCOS, you know, it sort of affects our sense of femininity. You're losing hair and growing hair and, you know, having trouble getting pregnant. And I think it leads to this place of kind of feeling like you're not enough. And I think so many women are sort of caught in this victim mentality. So I really want women to know that it's not necessarily their fault that they have PCOS, but if they continue to think and act like a victim, that is their fault. So I really want to empower women by realizing that your body is not betraying you. It's calling for your help. And I really encourage women to stop fighting with their body and instead sort of work in partnership and realize that your body is just sending you signals that, you need to bring it back into balance. And I want you to start responding in a loving and nurturing way. So when you stop approaching your diet and the way that you eat from this place of lack, or what I sort of call diet deprivation and denial, and shift to more of abundant way of looking at your diet and looking at really nourishing and nurturing yourself with nutrient-rich food and moving your body that in ways that feel good, it really makes a huge impact in the way that you feel. So my book is really driven by that idea of thinking like a diva. So in the 21-day protocol, I give you sort of a whole what your day would look like in terms of the activities that you would do, the positive affirmations that I'd want you to say to yourself, and the food that you would eat. There's 85 recipes in the book, and I give you a daily meal plan, and I even give you prep tips for each day. And then we explore exercise and movement and meditation, and I teach you something about how you can heal your body with PCOS every day of the 21-day plan. So it's really becomes kind of like a workbook. You sort of work through exercises in each of those days while you're doing the diet and exercise. It's really a holistic protocol.
You know, it's really impressive. And I love what you talked about in terms of working with your body. You know, I have a lot of food sensitivities and I often get mad at my body and like, why is it like this? Why can't I just have a damn corn chip without, getting tired? Or yesterday I ate some peanut butter and I was on the floor. I fell asleep. My daughter's like, Mommy, are you okay? Like, I literally get so tired from certain foods. Yeah, it's crazy. But I eat them anyway, because sometimes I'm just like, darn it, I want that. But then I know that, I got to plan better and I have to have things in the house that are available and that I can eat. And I was looking through your menus and your recipes. They're super impressive. I can't wait to make a bunch of them. I mean, they look really delicious. Did you work with a chef on these?
No, that's really how I started out with PCOS Diva, is I've had meal plans for women with PCOS. Wow. Over the years now, I've created probably over 500 recipes. I have seasonal meal plans.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And it's just, I think it's like one of my core competencies. Like, I'm able to take, healthy food and make it taste good and family friendly, because I have three kids, two really tall teenage boys that eat a ton of food. And, they're not picky, because they've been eating like divas since they were, in six. So,
oh my gosh. Well, I think it's fantastic. I was looking too at, you have six ways you can practice self-care. I'm big on self-care. And you've got plan the menu, get moving, reduce stress, sleep, find a creative outlet, and indulge. And, we've heard, I like this, because these are things that we've heard before that are so helpful for so many different issues. And I love to find a creative outlet. What do you like to do? And what do you encourage the women you work with to do?
Well, so it's interesting about that, finding a creative outlet. And it's something that I experienced when I was doing one-on-one coaching, that women, when they're really suffering with PCOS, they've lost touch with their sense of creativity. And I find getting in the kitchen and experimenting with food is really a creative process for me. I love to write. Yeah. I write lots of blog articles. And, of course, cool. I just finished writing this book. I just like to color. My daughter and I have lots of coloring, like those adult sort of coloring books.
And I love that too.
Really nice colored pencils. And I just think that sometimes you just sort of, it becomes a meditation and you can kind of get lost in coloring. And I find that can be a creative outlet as well. But So I do think that there is sort of like a metaphysical aspect to finding your creative passion and healing PCOS. And I really encourage you, whether it's, you know, scrapbooking or dancing or even going to one of those painting nights can be really therapeutic.
Oh, that looks fun.
I know we have one in my town, and my whole family really enjoys going. But I really encourage people to find a creative outlet and then just see what happens.
Now, what have you seen with women who've put your plan into action? I'm assuming you've gotten some pretty cool results.
Yeah, I've been doing this work now for almost 10 years, and I have loads of testimonials on my site. But I think the overarching theme is that women really begin to understand how important it is to take extreme self-care and the benefit it is to everyone around them. So there's actually, I posted in the book a quote from one of my former clients, Emily, and she says that if one of her children or her husband had PCOS, she would have been doing this program long ago. You know, she would have been researching to find out what was good for them. She'd be doing everything to help them live their best lives. But why wasn't she willing to do that for me? She said that she thought it was being selfish to take care of herself, but now she knows that the opposite is true. And she was being selfish by not taking care of herself. I find that one of the biggest gifts that I can give to one of my clients, or hopefully a woman reading this book, is to realize that she's worth it and she's worth taking tender, loving care of herself. And I think
that's one
of the biggest breakthroughs that I have with women that follow my program.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I love in the book, you have a diva do. Take 10 minutes today to sit down and write yourself a letter of encouragement. Think about all you've accomplished over the last 20 days. Be your own cheerleader and revel in your successes. Again, that kind of goes back to what you were saying, that if it was somebody else in the family or a friend, you'd be doing everything under the sun to help them and to research. But then when it comes to you, you're like, that seems kind of selfish. No, it's not at all. And to write yourself a letter and to congratulate yourself and to give yourself those props, right, Andrea? I think it's so important.
No, 100% I do. And, you know, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor for today, Lily of the Desert, because without our sponsor, we couldn't allow, you know, Amy, we couldn't share this information that we do on Naturally Savvy Radio. So huge congratulations to huge shout out to our sponsor, Lily of the Desert, who has made it all possible for us. So thank you, Lily of the Desert, for making amazing aloe vera products. You can learn more at lilyofthedesert.com. And so, Amy, if people want to find out about you, where could they learn more about you? Can you share your social media, your website, all the information that people can connect with you on?
Sure. So you can find me at my site, pcosdiva.com. And I'm all over social media, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, and it's just hashtag PCOS Diva for all of those social accounts. And also, I have a site for my book. It's healingpcos.com. And I have lots of book bonuses that you can go to. I have a beautiful companion workbook that goes along with the book and access to a Facebook group. We're going to be going through the Healing PCOS 21-day plan together. And there's already about 600 women in there, like, ready to go. And I'm just super excited about that. So I encourage you to check out those book bonuses.
Oh, that's awesome. And before we let you go today, I'm just curious, have you thought of doing just a regular healthy cookbook? Because I'm looking at all these recipes and I'm like, I don't have PCOS, but I want to eat everything. This is really good stuff.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? Fingers crossed that that healing PCOS goes well, because I would love to write a follow-up cookbook. That's definitely one of my goals. Thanks for saying that.
Oh, sure, Amy. I think it's great what you're doing. It's so important to encourage women to take care of themselves. I mean, that's what we do here on Naturally Savvy.
Absolutely, we do. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Amy. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis, and you're listening to Naturally Savvy Radio. Like us on all social media at Naturally Savvy, at Andrea Donsky, at Radio MD, and at Health Media Gal One. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.